Ladies and gentlemen, we are live! This is the moment turtles around the world have been waiting for. Introducing first, in the red corner, he is a judge, weighing in the broken dreams of a Tron player, Nyxia, Value Turtle Terratron! And in the blue corner, a mixed magic artist, weighing in nothing but hot air and illusions of grandeur, Igor, Reanimator Mishra Havad!
Hello, hello again. Here we are back at this podcasty thingy that we do like once a week. This is Igor.
And this is...
So, Nyxia, how has the week been?
I did the pre-release.
Oh! So... How badly did you get screwed?
Well, I only got screwed in the pool I opened and the matches I got...
Well, just that.
Yeah, but I did the, like, I had an average score of 2-1.
That's nice.
Yeah, I got 2 boosters out of that.
So what were your bombs? Let's call them that way.
Is Harmless offering a bomb?
Yes, depending what you offer them.
I had nothing to offer. So I'm just going to say that Bruna was my bomb.
Oh, you got her.
Yes.
She's not a money card, but she's a fun card.
She's pretty good with that uncommon angel, that 6 mana 4-3 that taps all guys.
Yep,
your
sounds
opponent's
fun.
Guys. Yeah, it's really nice when you cast that angel, you tap his stuff, you attack him, and then he kills your angel and leaves some blockers, and then you cast Bruna and bring her back.
Haha.
Surprise, surprise.
And that is right on curve, so that's nice.
Yeah.
6-7. So, did you actually do any Commander of the Week action?
Well, I just came back from a little Commander play time.
So, what was happening over there?
We were chasing each other across planes.
Ooh.
We finally managed to get some plane chase cards. I believe it was almost all of them. And we played plane chase.
And how was that like?
Really fun. I mean,
how many?
It's really fun if you can... have fun with your mates and get around all that crazy RNG that appears on that. Because I know it's not the rule, but we play plane chase that we have the same plane chase deck, the same planar deck, and you must roll the free dice roll every turn.
I mean, we did something similar to that. We had the same planar deck. And we weren't actually forced to roll the thing, we just did it because why not? Because it's fun.
I mean, we just forced it so people that find themselves on a very good plane, that they still contribute to getting off it and, or you know, just chaos.
Oh, that's what we most roll the time, because when you're on a plane you like, you just want to get that chaos thing. So what were you actually playing in that game?
I was playing a bit of Corridor and a bit of Sig. And with Corridor, I managed to pull a win out of nowhere, you the planes, of course, because that's how you win in plane chase. You get lucky, and it's the power of chaos of the day.
I really want to play plane chase EDH when I get to Zagreb, so I think we should set it up once the time is nigh.
If we have enough people, and I get a certain person, we can play Commander multiplayer. Plane chase, archenemy, vanguard.
What?
Yeah, I know a guy that has all vanguard and all plane chase and all archenemy cards.
Archenemy.
So
oh my god.
I remember we did that once.
Wow. That sounds like an experience that's going to be lasting for a couple of hours. Or just, you know, 5 minutes, depending on the archenemy's deck.
And the on his deck and... the schemes he gets and the planes and what they do.
Yeah, but that sounds like an experience.
It can get really messy for anybody at any time.
It sounds like my kind of game, actually.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that one game, I won with chaos. We were on a plane that gives your creatures +1/+0.
Yeah.
And gives them haste, so I dropped my... So I attacked with my duplicate that exiled... Iverson, so he was 9/9 because of the +1/+1.
He was a big boy.
The opponent let him through, and then I rolled the dice, and I got the chaos, which to untap all my creatures, and after the main phase, there's an additional combat phase. And I used that to drop in Avenger of Zendikar, get 6 plants, drop a land, make them 2-2, actually 2-3, and they just swing for the victory. So yeah, that's the kind of things that you can expect when you're playing with Plane Shaker.
Yeah, Avengers Zendikar is never a fun card for the enemy.
I guess he is if your enemy is playing a Massacre for him.
Yeah, but if he survives, something like that. That was a sweet play, honestly. I always loved playing. Yeah. It takes a bit longer, but it's worth it.
And then there was this situation where the opponent played Decree of Annihilation. So everybody lost everything, and
everything.
All we had were the planes. And we were playing in... there were three of us playing. And we entered the plane that gives some generic... I think it's when you... It gives some generic static effect. But the big part was, when you roll Chaos, you get 5 colors in your mana pool.
Ah.
Which was really important since nobody had anything.
Nobody had anything, yeah. So you were just relying on actually rolling the Chaos for the first 3 rolls,
it
eh?
Gives creatures +2/+2.
Oh, yeah, but...
And
if you
everybody,
don't have any
relying, everybody was relying. Everybody was. I got a 2/2 zombie beforehand from a plane, and then he got exiled to get. So I got 2/1/1 sapperlings, and I was basically the only person on the game who had creatures. And I
you were to be down.
I only needed one more mana to drop my Jite and basically win. But that second mana just never came, and I was the only person that didn't roll Chaos for that mana.
Oh.
So, normally Kalia, the Vast, used that mana to summon herself and win because she doesn't need no mana.
Oh.
Because she's a
that bitch.
Strong, independent card.
That don't need no angels, demons, or dragons. Oh, wait, she does.
Doesn't need mana to get them.
Oh, well, yeah, that's a thing. That's
so,
a fair
yeah,
point.
Gisela made short work of us.
Gisela usually does.
Yeah.
I was gonna go, what was I gonna say? Oh yeah, when is actually that Plane Chase Anthology coming out?
This year?
Yeah, but I'm actually getting more and more interested in getting it, honestly.
After
talking like this.
Well, if we're looking back at the other anthologies, I think it will be a bit on the extreme side of price.
And I'll just wait for 6 months for nobody to buy it, and then it'll be on a huge discount.
Well, you hope no will buy it.
It's a Plane Chase, it's not that big a thing. Although, yeah, it won't be, because people will be, if they want to get it just for the rares in the decks, it won't be worth it.
You mean uncommons, because, you know, Shardless Agent is an uncommon.
Yeah, but it got reprinted now, just this last, yeah. And it's not actually worth it to spend like $100, $200 just to get that $5, $6 uncommon.
Oh, 2 copies.
Oh,
and 2
Bale. You're really
sticks.
Making bank now. Yeah, yeah. But do you have a Commander of the Week, or were the planes your Commander of the Week?
Yeah, the planes were. I'm going.
No, that's a cool story. I'm going to go with. I have also a story to tell. Actually, 2 stories about the games I played last week. The people were usual. Me and my girlfriend. First story. We had. Really grueling, almost an hour-long game. And it ended up with her having a couple of huge dragons and me at 8 life. I brought her to, like, 2 life and I couldn't have killed her. And then the last turn before she would kill me, I managed to get a Qatar's Crusade. And a thing that gives my creatures unblockable if they have power 2 or less. Back to the line.
Mm-hmm.
And I had that one turn, actually, the thing. I managed to swing in with creatures in response to Qatar's Crusade, the trigger. I made them unblockable, and then I won. And that was beautiful. And she hit Battle of Dragons, and I managed to win.
2 fucking dragons.
62 effing dragons, she says.
Okay.
62!
Now the 62 other game.
62 dragons!
Now the other game was much more stupider. So I was doing everything, right? Killing Proshino all the time, basically. The last time he came in, he brought in 14 tokens. That tells you something.
Mm-hmm.
And she's alright, and I stopped her from attacking because Blinding Angel was hitting her all the time. And she was like, okay, I have to do something. She played Shamanic Revelation, drew literally 34 cards. 38, I'm corrected. 38 cards. Then she put Xenagos in. Then got buttload of mana, managed to play Warstorm Surge, and then just played creatures and killed me.
Huh.
Yeah, her dragons got +3/+3.
And
Dragon Tempest managed to, you know, hit my face for the dragons, and then I just died from like 20-something life. Boom, I'm dead. And she couldn't even attack.
Oh,
I was sad.
That was glorious. Okay.
It was glorious, and I was sad. I put it on Instagram, and I think I'll link the thing to show notes. But come on, I was doing everything right, and then she just does that. That's just one of the things you see in this game. Even if you make every play correctly, you still might lose. Because yep. RNGesus decided to, you know, give her all the cards.
No, she didn't.
But yeah, that was a fun game, even though my nuts got crushed the game. But that's the nature of the game.
Oh, talking about nuts getting crashed. My god, the pre-release. There was just this one game that was just so infuriating. My god, I got so salty because of
it. What happened?
So, I made a Boros deck because I had a couple of removal my colors. And here's what happened. I'm not going to go too detailed into it.
Yeah.
But, the first thing that bothered me was I had my 2-1 Crusader or something that got +0/+2 when it attacks.
Yeah.
And I enchanted it with Skin Invader.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got enchanted. Then the enemy enchanted it with that blue enchantment that gives -X/-0, where X is the number of cards in his graveyard. So he was a big pile of uselessness. And then later in the game, I was in a really good position. I was threatening lethal in like 2 turns. I got my angel, and then the enemy cast, I got that tap angel, and I had Bruna in my hand. And then the enemy cast, Mind's Dilation. Man. Okay. I cast some random spell, I remember what. He got a land. It's like, okay, you got nothing, because he doesn't get the land. He can only cast the cards, which is normal, because that card is bad. And the next spell I cast was my angel, and he exiles my top card, and it's my 3-1 lifelinker that can exile himself from the graveyard to give 2 spirits. It was a lifelink, and he was really low in life. And he also had that enchantment that gives a creature a double strike at the start of combat.
That's a good enchantment.
It's not, but it's not.
I mean, when you have a 3-1 life linker and you're low on life.
Yeah, then it's good. I mean, especially when it's his turn and then he enchants it for +2/+2 and then you have a 5-3 double striking life linker. Yeah, then it's great.
It's the best enchantment ever. Best enchantment ever.
And if he attacks me, he gains just 5 life because I had a 1-1 lying around. My turn. I get my instant speed burn to get rid of that guy.
Finally.
I wait for his turn. I just swing with my angel. It's his turn. He attack. He gives his guy double strike and attacks me. And I say, haha, eat this. I burn him for 3 damage and he was a 5-3. Then he exiles my card. The card he exiled was my only card in the deck that gives +0/+2. So, yeah.
That happened.
So, basically, I was defeated by my deck. My own deck.
That's what my dilation does.
So, first he got my only lifelinker in the deck, which he absolutely to stay in the game. And then he got my absolute only +0/+X spell I have in the deck. And that's why I lost. It ended in a draw, but we played 1-1, but still it could have been 2-0. Because I was 20 cards into my deck, and I played 7 lands, and I played 17 lands in the deck. So there was a really high chance that he just got lands off of that, but no. He got everything. I was really salty about it.
I mean, your score would be, what, 4-2 if that draw didn't happen?
Yeah.
Aww.
Even the game in the finale, I had to face that stupid witch that turns into a life-sucking enchantment every damn match. And all 3 matches really, really close. I mean, even the last match, I was 1 of lethal when they stole his massive flying cavalry that makes spirits. I was all 1 of lethal just because of that stupid enchantment, that witch. And I even play that burn that exiles instead of if it kills it. Man.
All the salt.
And then, I mean, my pool was, like, really bad. Like, Bruna was the only viable rare card that I got. And
what are the other rares?
So I got Bruna, Harmless Offering, that engulfed the shores?
Yeah.
Oh man, what else? I got just a second, I'll fetch my pre-release kit.
And off he goes.
Let's see, what else I get I did not play. I also, oh, I got Oath of Liliana, but I wasn't in Plex, so it was completely used. I got a... Come on, guys, with the... Basically, you'll just have to believe me when I say that none of them were actually playable rares in my colors, because white and red were the only good cards, and not even in them I didn't get any, like, above-average common and uncommon cards.
Well, that's luck of the pre-release, I guess.
I mean, I did decently, and then I got my two boosters, in which I got... Oh, I got Decimator of Province, I guess.
A.K.A. the Craterhoof?
The pig, yeah, the Crater Pig.
Yeah, Craterhoof, but fixed version.
Yeah, maybe two fixed.
Well, I don't actually mind having a two fixed...
Yeah, sure, because you can actually cast them at three green mana.
Yeah, that's the thing, but also... Craterhoof is a bit of a beating. Just a little bit.
Give me a second, I'll just check, double check something.
Righto, sir.
Okay, I found the cards. So, I also got Soul Separator.
That's so bad.
And Stitcher's Graph, and that's
about what does the graph do again?
It gives the equipped creature +3/+3, but...
Oh, that thing.
When it attacks, it doesn't untap, yada, yada, yada. Not a really good card, good card. Because you just can't play offensive with it, and when you're in red-white, you kind of want offensive.
If you have a Vigilant to do that, then it's okay. But...
Nope, not a single Vigilant be fine.
Well, then it's really bad.
And Soul Separator is really good if you have that big tree.
Yep. But
other than that, it's bad. It doesn't affect the board when it enters the battlefield, and later you need an absurdly good card to separate the soul.
Well, now that we talked about that, I think it's time that we a bit chill down, mellow down a bit. What do you say?
Yeah, these hot summer days call for something a bit colder, cooler.
So, Nick and I were basically just randomly talking about Magic stuff, when he was like, he just mentioned the cool commanders. And my first idea was Cold Snap, and we were like, wait, what? And we figured out, why don't we talk about all the cool, or actually all of the Cold Snap commanders.
Yeah, so you can chill out.
Yeah, so you don't have to be so salty, you can just be cool.
Yep.
Although the first one is going to cause a huge amount of salt. Going alphabetically, it's Arkham Daxon. For 3 generic and a blue, 2/2 and tap kick a target opponent in the deck. I mean, target artifact creature controller sacrifices it. Then that player may search his or her library for a non-creature artifact card, put it onto battlefield, and shuffle his or her library. It sounds kind of innocent. It isn't. It never is.
Not. It's like one of the most unfair blue commanders there is.
I mean, how many times did you actually play against him?
Too much. I played like 4 or 5 games against him. That's too
much. Yeah.
Those were about 4 games too, because once he gets his Mycosynth Lattice out...
Space Marines. So what was the most common thing that people fetched with Arkham Daxon? What stupid combo piece?
Mycos.
Yeah, that's usually the first thing they search for.
And then they get Darksteel.
Yeah. And after that, you just can't do anything. I mean, if you have things that untap him and things like that, you can just go town.
You just have to. Yeah.
But it's supposed to be a fair card, that's the funny thing.
Yeah, you can just sacrifice artifact creatures, which is kind of specific. You can search only non-creature artifacts, which is also kind of...
Turns out, tinkering your artifacts, it's not that bad.
Especially when, the artifacts can kill you.
Yeah, he's kind of the fixed tinker.
Not fixed enough.
Oh yeah, but I mean, he's dumb, but he's not dumb as tinker.
But still, it's one of those commanders that has to be protected.
Yeah.
But you play blue, so screw you and everyone around you. He needs to survive a turn unless you have a Thousand Year Elixir or Boots. Boots. Which he can sacrifice.
Yep.
And you have to have some...
No, he can't. No, what? He can't.
Oh, yeah, you can't sacrifice... Sorry. Okay. Whatever. You can sacrifice a random 1/1 mirror token. That's about it, I have to say about Arkham.
Yeah. The next commander is the one you actually played a lot at. Garza Zol, the Black Queen. What does she do?
She's 4 and 3, 4 and blue, black, red. For a 5/5 flying haste legendary vampire. And whenever a creature dealt damage by Garza Zol, this turn dies. Put a +1/+1 counter on Garza Zol. And whenever she deals combat damage to a player, you may draw a card.
So why did you play her that much? Because I remember you had a deck with her. It was kind of fun.
Yeah, because she says to draw a card when she hits people. So she does two things really well, and that's hitting people the turn she comes in, and drawing cards.
I mean, is she a better commander than Traximunder?
No.
No, but she's a vampire with some kind of strange stick.
But she is a lot less rage-inducing among other players.
Yeah, that's the point. Plus, her art looks like she's in a hair metal band from 80s. Look at her.
Of course, yeah.
You can get angry at that.
She's just a decent beat stick.
Yeah, she's a really...
And if you chump her, she gets bigger.
Yeah. She's most likely going to kill whatever is blocking.
Especially since you're playing red and black, so you kill
it. Yeah. I mean, but 5/5 bodies, but it flies and it has haste.
Yep.
And it was in the days where creatures weren't actually that good.
Yeah, it's because it's pre-Planeswalker time.
Yeah. Oh, want to talk about bad creatures? I think we're supposed to move on to one of the strangest commander of them all.
You mean the worst commander of them?
Yeah, we can go that way. Just read him. Just read him. I think you're going to love this one.
So, now we're going to talk about Hakon. Hakon. Stormgald Scourge. It's a 1 and double black legendary creature, Zombie Knight, 3/3. And he has some cool abilities, like, as long as Hakon...
As long as Hakon
is on the battlefield, you may play knight cards from your graveyard. And when he dies, you lose 2 life. When Hakon dies, you lose 2 life.
There's a catch, though.
But there's a catch, and quite a big one. And that's, you may cast Hakon Stormgald Scourge from your graveyard, but not from anywhere else.
So until Commander 2015, it wasn't possible at all. Now that we have Commander Beacon, it's actually plausible to play him.
Could go with the house, yeah, but starting in your graveyard is a bit wonky. And what I would suggest as a house rule for him is he starts in your command zone, but you can pay his mana cost. You can pay the mana cost as though you were casting him to put him in your graveyard, and then you can cast him from your graveyard.
Yeah, that seems fair enough for me.
So first time you cast him, you have to play 3 just to put him in your graveyard, and then the next turn you have to play 3 to cast him in your graveyard. But when he dies, when he goes to command zone, then he costs 5 to enter the graveyard and 3 to cast from the graveyard, and so on.
Yeah, I mean, it's fair enough. Plus, so, what are you getting from him? Woo, nice tribal.
Nameless Inversion is actually a really powerful card.
Yeah, it is, but still.
That was actually a standard thing.
I'm not surprised.
I mean, for 6 mana, you can give something +9/-9. Because you don't exile the cards you cast with. You just do it.
Yeah, that's the point.
He's like an amazing corridor, but only for knights. So you can use Conspiracy to turn everything into a knight. Then have fun. But actually might be broken of that.
I don't know. There's pretty broken stuff in Commander already. Like Arkham Daxon.
Yeah, and if you really have to pay his mana cost twice to get him to the battlefield, I think that's complete. I might talk with people and try to make...
I don't think anybody... People shouldn't be really, up in arms about that, because you're playing Hakon, of all things. I don't think anybody has any right to actually say, okay, you're playing a too strong of a commander.
Yeah, he's... Yeah, that would be fair, because you give them a turn. Most of the time, you give them a turn to abuse him from your graveyard.
Yeah.
To steal him, and then you just look sad, because... Or he stole your commander.
Or just Juka block him. Okay. Well, he's just lying there in the graveyard doing nothing.
Yeah.
Now, the next one I'm going to talk about is not that powerful a commander, but I like her nonetheless. It's Lovisa Cold Eyes. For 3 red-red, she's a human barbarian. She was a human lord once.
No, she's actually just a...
Human barbarian. Human barbarian.
She's a human.
No, she's a barbarian, but they changed her text. She's a Tritheian warrior, berserker, and or other barbarian creatures get +2/+2 and have haste. She doesn't give the bonus to herself.
But I'm reading the Oracle text, and it says legendary creature, human.
I'm also reading the Oracle text, but from another page. Let's see it together.
At together, it's a legendary creature, human.
I saw human barbarian. Anywho, I mean, it's all the same because by this she text I'm reading, it's and or other. Yeah, so it doesn't actually matter. Unless you manage to have two Lovisa Cold Eyes play, I guess.
No. So if you go to Gatherer, their official card list, she gives each creature that's a barbarian, warrior, or berserker +2/+2 and haste. So if you can give her one of those creature types, she can buff herself.
Yay, conspiracy?
Yeah, in the mono red deck.
I'm thinking actually of making Alesha warrior tribal and put her in.
Well, that's a thing.
Yeah, because Alesha wouldn't mind actually getting +2/+2 in haste.
But you know, this could actually be a fun commander, just so you can go like a berserker tribal flavored deck.
Yeah, I mean, you just make the horde.
Yeah.
And then I always had a thing
all kind of super crazy red cards that smash everything, and then you can just go around and destroy things because you're a berserker and do berserkery things.
Oh, next commander is about your liking. Could you read the Sekwar?
That's not the one liking, but okay.
Okay, then, I mean, read it because I'm going to robot out.
Oh, Sekwar Deathkeeper. I actually think he's popular enough that he does an introduction.
Yeah, but with
he was even reprinted in one of the commands.
With bad art and bad flavor text.
Well, nonetheless, he's a 2 and Jund, so 5 mana, for a legendary creature Orc Shaman that says whenever another non-token creature you control dies, put a 3/1 black and red Graveborn creature token with haste onto the battle.
Basically, when you don't feel like playing Prosh, you play him. And my girlfriend is decking me for saying the heretical words of not playing Prosh.
But Prosh makes 0/1 stupid people. Sekwar makes 3/1 really pissed off Graveborn. So you can like really hurt some.
Yeah, but Prosh is still the best junk commander there is, so that's what I'm saying. But he's kinda boring.
No.
Sekwar really shines when in those sacrifice threat. I'm here. Hello? Hello.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, so Sekwar really shines in those sacrifice strategies that has lots of recursion and lots of die effects, and I've seen it a few times when he would just, you know, wipe your board and kill somebody because you got a lot of haste guys. I mean, after a really big domination, he makes guys.
So anything else you wanna say about this orc?
You can make an orc tribal now.
How many orcs are there actually?
Well, we got some orcs, Khans of Turkey.
Yeah, we did.
So I guess that's extra things for Sekwar.
Yeah.
But those are shamanic orcs.
Yeah.
More than like those brute orcs you play with Zurgo.
Yeah.
So yeah, this guy really shines what Jund does best, and that's eat its own stuff.
He's a really good friend with Meron of Clan Naltot, I think.
Huh, yeah.
Because your guy dies, and then he comes back.
But Meron is a good friend with everybody.
No, Meron is nobody's good friend except for the person who's playing her, and even then.
Yeah, I really want to get my hands on
You'll build a deck, you'll play her, and then you'll find that it's boring because you build the same deck everybody else has.
No. Play her as one of the 99 in Karador.
Oh, that's another thing. That's fair enough. That's actually
She's actually brutal in Karador.
She's brutal in most of those decks that drinks the die. From Crash, Karador, you name it.
So yeah, Sekwar is one of the better cold stuff.
Yeah. Wanna talk about the last proper commander?
I don't know what you're talking about. There's a couple of more proper.
Okay, what's the next thing you want to talk about?
Well, we can talk about the best commander.
The little bastard.
The little bastard that could.
I mean, the little bastard, you already know of him, and you all kind of played against that deck inside. It's Zir the Enchanter. For 1 white, blue, black, he's a 1/4. He's a legendary human wizard. He flies, and whenever he attacks, you may search your library for an enchantment card with commander mana cost 3 or less, and put it down to the battlefield. If you do, shuffle your library. Just...
Necropotence is 3 mana. Enough said.
Yeah. He also sounds kinda innocent.
ish.
Until you notice it that he's not fair. Actually, polar opposite of fair.
Until you notice that white and black have really good enchantments.
Especially
and also
when,
blue, but yeah.
Especially when you put that flickering enchantment on him and he becomes unkillable.
Yeah. I mean, as that necro is a thing and it's 3 mana.
So you're probably fetching that first so you can...
Yeah, most likely.
You know, and get you cards to protect Zor because you're playing blue, white and black.
And he's not going to die... ever again. The problem with Zer is we can't actually tell you anything more about Zer that you already don't know about him.
He's also banned, right?
Where? In 1v1?
If he's in 1v1, he's banned.
Most likely because... I mean, I don't know. I don't actually follow 1v1s. French isn't really my thing.
Mine.
But what's the next commander?
Well, we got Darien, King of Keldor now.
He's a badass.
For 4 and double white, you get a 3.
I kind of forgot to put him on the list, though.
4 and double white, 3/3 human soldier. And whenever you're dealt damage, put that many 1/1 white soldier creature tokens onto the battlefield. Which sounds kind of eh. And it is kind of eh. Unless you can build, you know, emo white deck with him as a commander.
You mean
you
Soul Sisters?
Yeah. You can play, you just play Soul Sisters and all the other creatures that heal you when stuff comes onto the battlefield, and you play, self-hurting artifacts.
Or lands.
Wait, there's one really good land for that.
What, Nomad Outpost? No, Nomad something.
I think it's Outpost.
No, Nomad Outpost is, the one from Khans, which gives you Mardu colors. Nomad Stadium, I think it is.
Wait.
It's from, like, Legions, I think, or Scourge.
Okay. I'm just going over them. I found some lands. Oh, Ancient Tomb.
Yeah, Ancient Tomb is okay with him.
Ancient Tomb. So you get two guys just for tapping for mana.
Yeah.
City of Brass, because you take damage.
Mana Confluence?
Mana Confluence, I think it loses life.
Oh, yeah.
Aww. You pay one life, too.
Aww.
Oh wait, you can't play Shockland.
Do you remember that? I mean, you can play Shockland.
You can play Grand Colosseum.
I mean, you can play fetch lands. I meant.
But you also pay life.
Also, God damn it, bastards.
You can play Nomad Stadium.
Yeah, I told you.
But I still don't think that's really a good land to play, no matter if you're playing Darien.
I mean, with him, it's okay-ish. It's another thing, another way to get triggers.
Tarnished Citadel.
Yep.
It deals 3 damage to you. You have... Well, you mean Thespian Stage, so you can copy it to Ancient Tomb.
Yeah.
And deal more damage to yourself, because that's all you want to do. You just deal damage to yourself.
Do you remember that he was actually the first commander I ever built?
I don't.
Yeah, you helped me build the deck, and it's really janky. Like, really janky, but it kind
of
worked.
And also, people wouldn't really attack you, because then you would get a lot of guys.
That is the point.
There's an interesting card called Angel's Trumpet for his deck. So what Angel's Trumpet does is a 3 mana artifact. Attacking does not cause creatures to tap, so it gives them vigilance. At the end of each player's turn, tap all untapped creatures he or she controls that did not attack this turn. Angel's Trumpet deals 1 damage to that player for each creature tapped this way. So if you get any part of the Soul Sisters, you can just not attack with them, and they tap... And you get more guys. Infinite amounts of guys.
Yeah, and you get chump blockers for the dudes that are about to be coming your way, because they'll be attacking you if you have the trumpet.
You bust in a coat of arms, kill somebody.
Yeah, basically.
Get an Eldrazi monument, because you have infinite amount of guys.
And also, if you're playing that huge amount of guys, you play Jazza Gold Main, because you're mono-white.
Yep. Oh, Jazza. Mana Crypt and Mana Vault also deal damage
to you. I was going to say, Jazal Goldmane is such an underrated card. I don't see him nearly enough.
Well, I guess because people aren't aggressive enough.
That's the problem. But he's a really, really, really good card. Like, goddamn.
Yeah, with Darien going...
Wide?
That's going, yeah, really, really wide with his guys. You can get insane.
What's the next dude that we have on the line?
Oh, we have the lovely, lovely Haidar. Rhymewind, that's the last guy.
That's the last official guy.
Official, yeah.
So what does he do?
Oh, so he's another mono blue command. For 4 and a blue.
Not as oppressive as Arkham Daxon, though.
Yeah. He's a 3-3 human wizard and has pay 2 of any. Tap him to return target permanent to its owner's hand. But you can only activate this ability only if you control 4 or more snow permanent. Which is not really a big deal since you're probably going to play a lot of basic islands snow that are snow covered.
Yeah, but they're expensive.
Well, you can proxy them.
Yeah, you can always do that. But this guy isn't anything near Arkham Dax in oppressing. I mean, he's not that oppressive at all.
I mean, he can bounce lands, and that's like really annoying.
I mean, if you can untap him and things like that, he can be a bit annoying, but he's less annoying than, I don't know, Teferi the Planeswalker or Arkham or any number of other Monoblue generals.
So what do you do if your commander is not oppressive or win more or just really, really good? You make a theme deck.
Oh my god.
Hydra is Eternal Winter. So you just put in all the flavorful ice cards.
This sounds like something you already done.
No, not yet. So you got cards like Ice Gauge, Iceberg, Icy Manipulator.
Ice Flow.
Morning Frost, anything else?
Ice Flow.
So you can make a really cold deck with him.
really cool deck.
Yep. Oh, and then you get somebody to alter him into Mr. Freeze.
And all the puns.
Especially the Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Then nobody can... If somebody does a good alter of that, then nobody can... Then nobody can talk against you saying puns all the time.
You know what killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age.
Yeah. Man, now we want to build this kind of deck.
Oh my god, you're totally building it, aren't you?
Justin.
One day you'll get really bored, and you'll be like, well, I have some extra...
I really do have some sleeves, but...
See? It's calling you.
Man, and my Phage the Untouchable deck is not really... It's not really going well with...
It's time for more jank. I think it's time for Hymen to do his thing, or whatever his name is.
Hyder, yeah.
Yeah, that's
time to show the world his icy touch. Time to kick some ice.
It's time to cool everybody off.
Cool party. That's
yeah. What's the last guy we have on the docket?
No one.
Yes, we have.
No, there's no other legendary creature.
Not official legendary, but people play this commander as legendary because it's really cool and legendary feeling. You know who I'm talking about?
No.
Tamanoa.
I could have guessed that.
Yep.
Yeah, Taman. Yeah. I remember back in the day when I was a wee boy.
Just a wee lad.
Cold Snap was one of the first sets that came out when I started playing. Oh, yeah, the time when I thought that Aurochs were really cool and I wanted to make a tribal deck.
I mean, you can, but should you?
No. There's some things better left on.
Oh.
But I was really looking to make Tamanoa a thing. I mean, turning all your burn spells
life?
Sort of lightning helixes. But, you know, then came Monastery Mentor. No, not Monastery Mentor.
Yeah.
That other bitch. What's her name? Oh my god, she ruined so many games.
That Jessica.
Yeah.
I can't remember her name, even though Monastery Mentor is a better card than she is.
Yeah, depending on the situation.
I would more often have Monastery Mentor than that girl.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sure, she's gaining me life, but Monastery Mentor is making my opponents not have any life.
But you're forgetting that she can return your spells.
Yeah, that's a thing, but I don't need my spells returned if my opponents
that's
are
a thing.
Dead.
That thing is insane. I remember when people used... Oh, I have 7 mana open. Oh, he's Crackling Doom. Oh, I get it back into my hand. You're softlocked. Oh, God.
Salt much?
No, it's not salt, it's just...
Rage.
It's just so... It was so...
So what does Tamanoa actually do now that you actually ranted a bit about other cards?
So Tamanoa is a Naya colored creature for so 3 different colors. She's a 3-3? Yeah. And your non-creatures... I don't have her on screen, so can you say what she does?
I turned off Chrome, so it wouldn't actually be killing my Skype, but if...
No, never mind. Whenever a non-creature source you control deals damage, you gain that much life.
Yeah, and it's a really cool concept. I really wish they made her legendary.
Yeah, it was such... And it's a 2-4, not a 3-3.
Yeah.
So she turns everything that's not a creature into basically lifelink.
Yeah.
So you, it's even good with Planeswalk.
Yeah, she makes Lightning Helix that much better.
Yeah, 3 extra life.
Yeah.
She's a really good card.
Yeah. Chandra becomes much better.
Oh, definitely.
Especially the new Chandra when she burninates all the playing field.
Oh, -3.
Oh my god.
So she doesn't kill Tamanoa.
Yeah, oh my god. I'll kill your whole field and gain like 90 life. Okay, seems legit.
Yeah, I never actually saw anybody considering her even playing as part of the 99, especially not as a commander. I mean, because
it's not legendary. In 99, it has to be really specific to that deck because all the other Naya commanders aren't actually concerned with this playstyle.
It's a cute card.
The thing I like about it is that it's a unique way to approach Naya.
Yeah, just using indirect
damage. Yeah.
Yeah, not non-creature damage. Huh, maybe making a creatureless Naya. My God.
Yeah.
I sound like a heretic.
Nah. I wish they just retconned her into legendary and Nephilim.
They're probably going to make legendary Nephilim. I guarantee you there's going to be a cycle of legendary Nephilim just because Mark Rosewater just can't get over the fact that he didn't make them legendary.
But they do seem so legendary, that's the thing. What the hell?
They were just so random. They didn't think about
it. I mean, it makes sense story-wise why they aren't legendary, though. Because they come from some other plane when they're, you know, there's a bunch of them.
Yeah, they're a common thing on that plane.
Yeah.
Yeah, why aren't we visiting that plane?
They can design cards like that for an entire set.
They don't have to, but they can make like a set that not multicolored focused, but likes when you're playing more colors in your...
By the way, is this all the commanders we have from Cold Snap?
Yep, I believe those are all.
I was just going to go into a bit of a small side rant. I was thinking about Commander 216, and isn't this a perfect opportunity to put in more cards with ninjutsu in?
I would argue that every non-standard release is a good opportunity to put more ninjutsu cards in.
Yeah, but this is actually, you know, properly good because it'll be Dimir colored, and you have an opportunity to put a lot of cards that won't see any other format play that have ninja.
Yeah, but ninjas that are not just black and blue.
No, I mean, you can make that, or you can just make blue and black ninja deck for the set.
But four colors.
Yeah, but one deck can focus on, you know, those two things. That is black and blue and also others. Because there could be, I don't know, red ninjas, or partly red ninjas.
I guess, yeah.
Ninjas that are driven by rage.
Or passion.
Yeah. Something like black red ninjas.
No, those are those ninjas that have to avenge their master.
Yes, or have to kill their master. Whatever. I'm not judging. So was there anything else we need to talk about?
I just want to mention that I love the archenemy cards because their names are amazing and their flavor texts are amazing. So if you've got the time, go check them out. Because they're really, really cool.
There was one last thing I wanted to mention, actually.
Yeah?
So, you remember New Talia and all the crazy things she does. And I was thinking, could she be vintage playable? This guy made basically Talia tribal deck with 4 New Talia, 4 Old Talia, and 4 Thorn of Amethyst.
Okay.
And it ended up like 3rd in a Mana Drain tournament.
Wow.
Winter tournament. Yeah, it's basically Mono White Eldrazi with 4 Talias of each kind.
Of course it's Eldrazi.
Yeah, because it does all the things your Eldrazi tribal wants to do. Just hoses their creatures, and one of the things that actually beat Eldrazi before were Mentor decks. And they just, you know, spam all the Mentor, the tokens, and they just chump block all day, and you can't do anything. But with the new Talia, their tokens don't do anything. You just smash face.
Yep.
And it's wonderful.
Yeah, I guess
yeah.
I guess watching Eldrazi smash people's faces is wonderful, but people also want to see Eldrazi's faces smashed.
I mean, Talhi also does good with that.
Yeah. First strike really goes a long way.
And also, you know what was played in that tournament? The new, our newest band, Planeswalker, Tamio, was played in Vintage.
Well, that's kind of surprising.
Yeah, but she's really good. She has really good two modes, and she has a really threatening ultimate. Like, really threatening.
Yeah, and also her plus one is just absurd on Vigilance creatures and Double Strike creatures.
Those aren't played that much in Vintage.
No, but you can also lock down their creatures from blocking or attacking.
Yeah, plus you can put it in... there's a lot of decks you can actually do with her, like Band Control, maybe some kind of Band Mentor deck. Oh, I'm going to put the Mana Drain link in there so people can actually check out the decks that they were playing in. That was a small side thing I just wanted to mention, and I think that's it for the week. Anything else you gotta add?
Stay in school, kids. Except for during the holidays, don't.
Or just stay cool.
Stay cool. Chill out. Don't go on a salt fest. What happened?
And just don't play with ripple cards. Whatever you do.
Why not?
Because they're bad. No. Only good ripple card is Drumming Stone, and that's it. Can you name other? Well, can you name other ripple cards?
Well, Relentless Threats.
See?
I guess.
And Shadowborn Apostles.
Yeah, that's basically it.
Well, I think that's it for this week. This has been Igor.
This was Nick Shaw.
And as always, the Emperor.
My life for Ire. I mean, Ner'zhul. I mean, Ire. For the Emperor.
Yay!
Travel space and time unravels, spare the space.